I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, Ian here. A quick note about this episode. This one first posted back in 2018, and since then it's delighted and disturbed parents and children alike. It's one of our favorites, and we thought we'd bring it back for this Halloween. If you've already heard it, or if you're scared, you can skip it. But if not, here we go.
An advisory. This episode contains descriptions of pumpkin carving that sensitive listeners may find gruesome.
My name is Annie, and I'm a jack-o'-lantern. I came originally from a pumpkin patch, and now I'm on a stoop.
Well, this feels like a strange place to start, but I'd like to just kind of ask you about your face.
Yeah, kind of rugged, right?
Well, could you, for our listeners that can't see you, could you just, I guess, describe your expression for us?
Sure. So my eyes are cockeyed. They're triangle-shaped. Well, they're trying to be triangles. I guess one looks more like a square. It has four sides. Right. My nose is an upside-down triangle. And the expression on my mouth is a... what I can describe as a moon turned upside down, you know, like a fingernail turned upside down.
Okay.
And I've got a little snaggle tooth. So I guess the expression is angry baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you feel like that, does that represent you? Do you feel like an angry baby?
Not at all. I feel like I'm a pretty happy pumpkin, and that face doesn't necessarily describe that.
Yeah.
So there's this disconnect with what I look like and kind of what I'm feeling on the inside. And that's a bummer because I'm happy, but the face kind of says, whoa, don't talk to that one.
Just
keep your distance.
Well, so if you could choose, if you had been able to choose what face was carved... instead, what would you have chosen?
I would have loved to have some eyebrows. I don't have any right now.
Right.
And if I had to choose my own eyebrows, I would like them to kind of have this furrowed, concerned V.
You would want to look concerned.
Yeah, because that's how I feel.
I want to ask you about being carved, the experience of being carved.
Yeah.
I guess, first of all, was that something you looked forward to?
I looked forward to it in the sense that I knew it was going to happen, that it was my fate. So it was one of those, like, you know, I know this day is coming. So I looked forward to it in that sense. But I knew it was going to hurt like hell. And you know what? It did. It was excruciating. The pain was unbearable.
Well, I don't want to bring you back to the trauma.
But you're going to.
Well, if you don't want to, you don't have to. But I would... if you wouldn't mind just sort of like telling us the story of being carved.
So, you know, I was taken out of the patch. That's horrific in of itself. You know, I'm ripped from my family, put on a truck with other pumpkins that I don't know. You know, and it's a very quiet experience. We all know what's going to happen to us. We're going to be sold at a grocery store. You know, sitting at that grocery store with these other pumpkins, watching people come by, choosing you, picking you, testing your firmness, turning you away because maybe you have a bump or two, you know? And then once, you know, you get into the house, it seems okay. You're starting to get to know your family a little bit more. And then now comes the knife. It feels like such a betrayal in a way. For you, the carver, it's a joyful occasion, right? There's a lot of memories tied to carving a pumpkin, and it's a family affair. For me, it's like going under the knife in a hospital where there's really no doctors. It's just some amateurs kind of working at your face. It starts with a sketch. That's usually with a Sharpie. And, you know, it's tickly, the drawing, the Sharpie. They're drawing on my face. It feels nice. It's tickly. But once the slicing comes in, it's not quick and easy. In my experience, I actually had a mess up, as they call it. So the backside of me is the first trial of sketch. And I guess it didn't go as well as they wanted it to.
So you have another face on your other side.
Yeah. So right now I have a messed up face on my backside.
And your face is on your front side.
Right.
But that's was originally
my backside. It's not my best side. I've got a lot of lumps on my backside.
Okay.
Brown spots too, age spots. And they tried again.
Where did they start? What was the first thing they carved?
My right eye. That one's the square. So I think they were getting used to holding the knife and, you know, they let their 6-year-old kid take a whirl at it, you know, which is like, what are you going to give a 6-year-old a knife? That would be like me giving a seed a knife.
Right.
Here, practice this knife skill on this pumpkin. What does it matter if you mess it up? We'll just get another one. That's my face.
You are such a symbol, like a pumpkin. You immediately put a picture of a pumpkin on a thing and you understand it's communicating like fall and Halloween and, you know, the season.
Yeah, that's true. I like that I do represent that. And then when you look at me, you know exactly where you kind of are in the world,
yeah,
or what time it is in the world.
Yeah.
Right? But that's only specific to this part of the world. It's different throughout the rest of the world. Like, for instance, in the Ukraine, we represent heartbreak.
Pumpkins represent heartbreak.
That's right. It used to be that when somebody asked somebody to marry them, instead of saying no, you just handed them a pumpkin.
You're saying that that person would pull out a pumpkin and hand it to the person and they would know what it meant.
Yeah. What an awful thing to be, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You are no.
I'm no. I'm rejection.
You are I don't love you.
Yeah.
Or maybe marriage is not right for me. I'm not in a good place right now.
Yeah. It got to the point where people would only propose at night to avoid being seen walking home carrying a pumpkin.
Sort of the original walk of shame.
That's a good way of putting it.
Hi, I'm calling for Taras.
Yes, how can I help you?
Well, I got your name from the Ukrainian Cultural Center. They said you might be able to talk to me about the pumpkins and proposals in Ukraine. You know about this?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I read it in books, and there's some movies that you can see, actually, how it's done.
Oh, really?
Well, obviously comedies, but yeah.
Tell me about one of them.
let me see. I can quickly try to find it on YouTube for you. Hold on. Because it's a mouthful to tell you, and we're probably going to be struggling both for me to translate for you to understand what it means. But let me see if I can find it here quickly. Okay. All right. It's V as in Victor.
Yep.
E as in Edward. C as in Charlie. H as in Henry. E as in Edward. R as in Richard. A as in Apple. That's okay. One word.
Okay.
The second word is just N-A.
So, Vichera Na. Or...
Yes. And then the third word is H as in Henry. U as in Umbrella. T as in Tom. O as in Oscar. R as in Richard. E as in Edward.
Okay.
So and the fourth word is... No, that's... I'll tell you when it stops. The fourth word is B as in Boy. L as in Larry. I as in Icicle. Z as in Zebra.
Okay.
And the last word is D as in dog, I as in icicle, K as in kite, A as in apple, N as in Nancy, K as in kite, I as in icicle. So if you were by the computer, you can try and see.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It came right up. I got it.
Okay.
Okay, so the scene I'm seeing here seems to be a man in a cave using telekinesis to dip his pierogies in sour cream.
So that's about the middle. You got to watch the whole movie. About the middle of the movie, you have there's a guy coming in, you know, a rich guy coming in to, you know, get married to a girl, propose to a girl, and then when they're done, she hands him a pumpkin.
And do you know anybody that this ever happened to from way back?
No, I personally don't. No, I'm too young for that. That's got to be maybe my grandparents, yes, but personally not me.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I think there's still used in colloquial language, you know, saying that be careful because you might get a pumpkin as a response. It's not that you're going to get a pumpkin, but meaning that you might get rejected, you know.
Oh, it's like slang now.
Basically.
Well, yeah. Is there anything that I should ask you about this that I haven't yet?
No, you were pretty inquisitive about a pumpkin.
So, Annie, I guess even before, you know, they start with the face, they, you know, they have to cut open your top.
Yeah, you get the head sliced into, and they take off that top. And that's kind of my umbilical cord, you know.
Right.
That's where I was connected to the ground, the earth. And then they start digging in the inside with a spoon. And those are my seeds. And for us lady pumpkins, that's a whole experience in of itself, is losing those seeds, you know. You know, you see baby pumpkins in the patch, other pumpkins who have kids. And, you know, we're given so many of these seeds. It's like, is the expectation to have all these pumpkins?
200 babies.
Right. I'm watching them get placed on a tray and salted and put into the oven for a snack. Horrifying. It's horrifying. I would have loved the chance to try before I got plucked, but so be it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was meant for Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, not motherhood.
So I think when we're picking out a pumpkin, I think some people like, you know, a kind of taller, skinnier pumpkin. Some people want, you know, shorter, more squat pumpkin. Kind of Bert versus Ernie. Can you describe what you are?
Yeah, I'm more of the shorter, fat pumpkins. I've got a lot of space horizontally. And, you know, I think that could have made for like a cool like surfboard scene or like a big beach maybe. But no, I'm just a big fat face. That's okay. And, you know, I don't, in the pumpkin community, there is no, you know, hierarchy of body types, right? So there's no desired body type, like mm-hmm. those tall, skinny ones. I think you humans like the tall, skinny ones. You know, for us, it's just you grew a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there comes a point, I guess, once all that's behind you, the face is carved in, when you're put back outside.
Mm.
Can you tell us what that was like when that happened?
Yeah, that's kind of a nice moment because, you know, this is your time to shine, right? You're going to be out there. You have a job to do, and it's to bring joy to all these trick-or-treaters, right? You're representing the spirit of Halloween. And then the rot starts to happen.
Hmm.
Day one of carving, the rot starts to happen. And it's slow, and you don't notice it at first, but a couple days later, you start to see, you know, dark spots inside of you. And that's when I know my time is coming. You know, I have a clock that is ticking the moment I'm taken from the patch. But the moment that I'm carved, the days become even more numbered.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Annie, so you became a jack-o'-lantern. Mm. Do you think about the other things that might have happened to you when you left the pumpkin patch?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you definitely hear things, you know, in the patch. They can make you into a pie.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Maybe they shoot you out of a cannon.
Okay.
Maybe they shred you up and throw you into a cake. And maybe they feed you to the lions.
I'm sorry?
Maybe they feed you to the lions.
Do you mean that metaphorically?
No. You know, big cats. Apparently, lions and tigers love pumpkins. So, you know, all the pumpkins that don't get picked out get sent to zoos and stuff, and the lions just tear us apart. You know, I don't even know if they eat us. They just attack us with their big teeth and paws.
So any pumpkin that doesn't get picked up from the grocery store is potentially headed to be torn apart by a lion.
In a zoo. That's right. Yeah.
That seems to me like the worst fate.
It's bad. It's really bad. But again, in my case, I was carted off in a truck and to a house where a family let a 6-year-old take a steel blade to my face, and they placed a flame inside my hollow body that burns day and night.
The lion, that seems quicker, at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really does seem like Halloween is scariest for you and not for us, not for humans. That really the most terrifying fates are headed your way and not ours.
Yeah. It does seem that way, doesn't it? I suppose you wanted a holiday where you felt scared, but you projected that onto an innocent pumpkin because you truly didn't want to be scared, right? Not real fright.
Yeah.
Right? Like a good spook is okay. Like, boo, oh, you scared me. But true horror, death and dying and decay, you don't want to get into that, right?
I guess not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think if you told me ahead of time that what was going to happen for me on Halloween was that someone was going to carve a face into me and then leave me out on a porch with a burning flame inside of me.
Yeah, happy Halloween, right?
It would be a holiday I would want to avoid.
Yeah.
At this point, I wish you could have our experience, which is pretty much just putting on costumes and getting candy, which when it comes down to it is not scary.
Yeah, I would love to be able to put on costumes and get candy. But this is the life of a jack-o'-lantern. I'm not supposed to eat candy. I'm not supposed to put on costumes. I'm supposed to bring joy by way of fright for a night.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to trick or treat?
I would love that.
I mean, what would you want your costume to be? You could dress up as anything in the world. What would you want it to be?
Batman.
Okay.
The Dark Knight. I would love to put on some bat ears and a cape.
Well, maybe what we can do is just anybody listening to this can kind of imagine sitting at home. It's Halloween night. Doorbell rings. You go to your door. You open the door. You look down. And you see Annie the pumpkin in a Batman costume. And yeah, you say whatever you want.
Hi. Please don't shut the door on me. I know this probably looks crazy. I don't want anything from you. I'm just an honest jack-o'-lantern looking for some candy. Trick or treat?
This is Everything is Alive. Our show is produced by Jennifer Mills and me, Ian Chillog. Thanks also to Eva Walchover, Emily Spivak, and Mr. Bill Curtis.
Sensitive listeners can breathe a sigh of relief. The worst is over now.
We're grateful to the reporting of David Green, and a big thanks to Taras Yako for talking to us about pumpkins in Ukraine. Annie, the jack-o'-lantern, was played by Annie Donnelly. Music in this episode was from Blue Dot Sessions. Everything is Alive is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. And without Julie Shapiro, executive producer, we would be barely more than a tiny squash. You can get in touch with us any number of ways at everythingisalive.com. We'll see you soon.
Radiotopia from PRX.